Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And as it turned out, Chris Christie invoked Abraham Lincoln as a reason not to run for president.
Abraham Lincoln said, "I'd like to see a man proud of the place in which he lives. I'd like to see a man live so that his place will be proud of him." That's how I feel in my heart about New Jersey. I'm proud of this state and its people, and I know there's still much more we need to do together to ensure the future we want for all of our children. So this is not the time to leave unfinished business for me. The stakes are too high and the consequences are too real. So, New Jersey, whether you like it or not, you're stuck with me.
He loves New Jersey. He really, really loves New Jersey. We'll talk about the presidential race after Chris Christie. Coming up later today. Also coming up today, here is something you can get busy on for a few minutes if you like over the next hour or so. Here's the deal. And those of you who are readers of great fiction, will be particularly interested in this. Tomorrow morning, the Nobel Prize Committee announces this year's winner in the prize for literature. The official nomination process is closed, obviously, but the Brian Lehrer Show nomination process is just beginning. In fact, it'll take place for about the next 2 hours. Coming up in the second hour of our show today, we will invite you to call in with your nominee for the Nobel Prize in Literature. Doesn't even have to be for this year. Along with a reading, up to a minute, of one of your favorite excerpts of your favorite living writer, fiction writer, obviously, or poet, or anybody who does literature. You got that? It's in the 11 o'clock hour today. We'll invite you to call in and name your nominee. What living writer, who's never won it, deserves the Nobel Prize in Literature? And we know there are writers who probably, for you, make your heart go pitter-pat after maybe a few years or maybe a lifetime of reading their work. And you can call in and nominate that person for the Nobel Prize for Literature, maybe for next year. And we'll invite you to read an excerpt, up to a minute, which is really short, just a few paragraphs. Or, you know, if it's Gabriel Garcia Marquez, one millionth of a paragraph, from your favorite excerpts, anything from the book, and just do it in consistent with the Nobel rules. No one who has won before can do so again. Sorry, Doris Lessing fans. The award can only be given to living writers. Sorry, Kurt Vonnegut fans. Other than that, anything goes. Poets, writers, lyricists. There's some buzz online about Bob Dylan's chances going up of winning the Nobel Prize for Literature, or although going up from really, really minuscule to mostly minuscule. Define literature however you want, but prepare your excerpt and get ready to talk about your nominee for the Nobel Prize for Literature coming up really in about an hour and a half, let's say around 11:40 this morning Eastern Time. All right? Meanwhile, we begin today with a Democrat and a Republican from our local congressional delegation, and this is not simply for them to disagree. New Jersey Democrat Bill Pascrell of the Paterson area and New York Republican Nan Hayworth from Upper Westchester to near Poughkeepsie are co-chairs of the bipartisan Hurricane Irene Congressional Coalition. They are seeking to ensure that FEMA is adequately funded to help all the homeowners and business owners who are eligible for relief under the usual FEMA guidelines in our area. Last week, you may remember, there was another government shutdown threat over $7 billion in FEMA funding that Democrats and Republicans couldn't agree on how to pay for. That issue has been resolved for now. We'll talk to Congresswoman Hayworth first, Congressman Pascrell second. So, Republican Congresswoman from New York, Nan Hayworth, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
First, was that issue resolved temporarily last week,
yes,
or for good, how to pay for the FEMA money?
Well, it remains to be seen in a sense, Brian. What happened last week was that FEMA declared that it had adequate funding for the remainder of fiscal year 2011. So what we did was to provide for the agreed upon baseline funding for FEMA for fiscal year 2012.
And we should explain to our listeners that the fiscal year for the federal government is October 1st to September 30th. So this new fiscal year actually just started on Saturday.
Right, right. So what we're doing is providing the funding that we agreed on in the Budget Control Act, which was passed through both houses in August. That is $2.65 billion for FEMA. So
now,
we'll see how things unfold in the next few weeks and months.
When there was that brief threat of gridlock and a government shutdown, the Republicans wanted to pay for the relief by cutting alternative energy programs, mm-hmm. like for solar energy business development and research on electric cars. Were you in that camp?
Yes, absolutely, Brian. Look at Solyndra. That pretty much says it all. The federal government simply isn't good at choosing commercial investments, nor should it be necessary for the federal government to do so. That is, unfortunately, usually a blatant waste of taxpayer dollars, better used for priority matters like FEMA funding.
But people say, on the other side, that if we want to compete with China, which is heavily subsidizing its solar energy and solar energy industry, and in general, its alternative energy research and development, then the government better stay involved.
Brian, the best way for us to compete with China is to make this country the premier destination for working capital in the world. We are indeed in a global marketplace for investment and for job creation. And with the passage of the Dodd-Frank Act, and unfortunately with the unnecessary burdens created on our healthcare system and our citizens through the Affordable Care Act, we're no longer competing successfully with a lot of nations that are more welcoming to capital and investment, like Singapore, like Brazil, like Colombia, and other nations in the Far East, including China.
And we'll get Congressman Pascrell's take on that in a couple of minutes. Does last week's agreement mean your coalition is basically done with its work because FEMA money is guaranteed to the eligible victims in New York and New Jersey?
No, Brian. We have a short-term and a long-term perspective. And what we've done successfully for the short term is assure that certainly I can speak for the counties I serve in the state of New York, that all of our counties have full disaster designation for Hurricane Irene and for Tropical Storm Lee. And that's great. And I have received nothing but praise for how FEMA has gone about its work throughout these weeks, which is very heartening. But we also have a long-term perspective. We want to repair and replace better wherever feasible. So we're working to put together a meeting, for example, between the Army Corps of Engineers and New York State's DEC so that we can improve drainage of the Wallkill River. Our farmlands in western Orange County in the Black Dirt region were devastated by Hurricane Irene, and those floodwaters remain for days longer than might have been the case had we had effective drainage. This is a problem that has been brewing for years. It has to be solved. And I, as a member of the Irene Coalition, am helping my own district, and am eager to help my fellow members to do the same in their districts.
Republican Congresswoman Nan Hayworth from just north of New York City, a co-chair of the Hurricane Irene Congressional Coalition. We'll talk to Democratic co-chair Bill Pascrell from New Jersey coming up in a couple of minutes. And I want to ask each of you in these brief segments about the recent congressional approval ratings. I'm looking at the list now on the Real Clear Politics website, and it says the latest Gallup poll had Congress at 15% approval, 82% disapproval, and that was better than the latest CBS News and Fox News polls, which both found an 11% approval rating for Congress. I think the Unabomber has better numbers than you guys. But seriously, why do you think Americans are so down on your institution?
Because, Brian, they see an economy that is stagnant or deteriorating. They are looking for solutions. They want, at the very least, to be able to be free to do the work that they know they can do within our own communities and states. And we have a federal government right now that sits on our economy like a stone. It does not need to be that way. So this is an expression of frustration, which I fully share with the people in my district and the people of the United States. And I'm working every day to try to make their situation better. And it is certainly a challenge because in the House majority elected in 2010, as you know, we are the most immediate representation of the will of the American people. We are at cross purposes, unfortunately, from a fair amount of the time with the Senate and the president.
Governor Christie, who is not running for president, you may have heard, gave a speech at the Reagan Library last week in which he said New Jersey is working better now in a bipartisan way because of leadership and compromise, and New Jersey is working better than Washington. Listen.
In Washington, on the other hand, we have watched as we drift from conflict to conflict with little or no resolution. We watch a president who once talked about the courage of his convictions, but still has yet found the courage to lead. We watch a Congress at war with itself because they're unwilling to leave campaign-style politics at the Capitol's door.
So he gave it to the president. He gave it to Congress. He invoked the phrase leadership and compromise. And President Obama seems to talk about compromise, use that word a lot. I think that's not the terms that the House Republicans like to use. Do you agree with Governor Christie that leadership and compromise need to be more on display on both sides of the aisle in Washington?
Well, I think there has to be a spirit of comity, no question, Brian. I think there has to be a sincere effort to build a consensus. And yes, does that involve give and take? Clearly it does. We have enormous opportunities for common ground with the Senate and with the president. And I would contend that the president, unfortunately, has assiduously ignored some of those areas in the jobs bill, for example, that he has insisted that we vote on as fast as possible. The Senate, of course, has heretofore refused to take it up, may now be doing so. But
on your side of the aisle, and I'll ask the Democrat about his side of the aisle, but on your side of the aisle, should there be more of a spirit of compromise? Can you say the word like Christie did?
Well, there is absolutely a spirit of cooperation. And yes, there is give and take. There is compromise to be had. I prefer the word consensus. I prefer cooperation. Everybody wins in that case. We will not, on either side, I am sure, compromise the principles that we represent. So if we on the House majority side see that a plan increases net burdens on the American people for the short term or the long term, we will oppose it, not because we seek to be contrarians, but because we recognize that we were elected to lift burdens. So if we increase taxes, we're increasing burdens. If we increase regulations, we're increasing burdens. If we only plan for a short-term piece of a tax puzzle and not address the long-term climate for jobs and opportunity in this country, then we are committing a dereliction of our duties.
All right. And we're going to go on to Congressman Pascrell right after I ask you, are you yet endorsing in the Republican presidential primaries?
I'm still watching and listening as avidly as I'm sure every one of the members of this audience is. Brian, we have some great talent on the Republican side, and I am particularly interested in all of our candidates who have had executive experience. And I think there's a lot that we'll be able to learn, and there's a healthy competition going on, which will only help us to elect the best possible chief executive.
Those who have executive experience. So you'd lean more toward a governor, a former governor, than you would toward a member of Congress, that means.
In the field I see before me, that would absolutely be the case, yes.
All right. Congresswoman Nan Haworth from Northern Westchester and Points North, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
So Congresswoman Haworth is a Republican co-chair of the Hurricane Irene Congressional Coalition, Democratic co-chair Bill Pascrell from the Paterson area of New Jersey joins us next. Hi, Congressman. Welcome back to WNYC.
Always a pleasure, Brian. Always a pleasure.
Do you agree with Congresswoman Haworth that the issue of securing that FEMA funding for the hurricane victims in our area is temporarily secured now but not permanently?
That's correct. I think it's temporarily, and it's for the first time been attached to cutting other programs, robbing Peter to pay Paul. This is a stupid This is a wrongheadedness, and this is the result of a Congress that is divided. No way of getting around it or putting frosting on the cake. It doesn't work. And the division within the Congress, you see what's happening. Now, we put this coalition together, which Nan is part of, Congresswoman Hayworth, Democrats and Republicans, who are insisting that it not be attached to any kind of program cuts, because I think this is a wrong path. We didn't do this with Joplin. We didn't do this
with the floods and fires in Texas, et cetera.
And why should we start now? Because this is the position that the Congress has allowed itself to go in. And I blame both sides.
Well, her
but
position,
we're not the majority.
Her position was that funding should be cut anyway to these alternative energy programs because they're better left to the private sector. But on the Democrat side, they're saying you just want to borrow the money when you say not attach it to any other program cuts. You want to just borrow the money for FEMA and add to the national debt. And I know it's been done that way in the past after natural disasters, but now that we're in hock for $14 trillion, maybe we should be done with automatically borrowing more money when expenses come
up. I approach the Irene crisis, which affected 32 million Americans, 52 different congressional districts throughout the Eastern Coast. I compare that with the financial crisis, in that we should have followed what Paulson really started back in 2008 under the former administration.
President Bush's Treasury Secretary.
That's correct, under the TARP. What should have happened was that we follow and pursue that. Because when no one is spending money, it's up to the federal government to do what it can and then pay its bills later. You saw the problem we had in paying our bills, Brian, when we had to wait and wait and finally bring the government almost to its knees in order to work out a deal on increasing the debt limit. So when people talk on one side of their mouth about bipartisanship and we got to get together and we got to reconcile this, well, that's all well and good, but your actions speak louder than your words. And look, I disagreed probably with the president's positions on issues more than a lot of other Democrats. But he has been vilified since the very moment he raised his hand. And to call him a liar during his State of the Union speech, to call him a Nazi on and off camera, these people, some of them, will stop at nothing. So when you want to talk about reconciliation, you need to lower your voice and then raise your commitment to the fact.
Why do you think that Congress's approval ratings are down at 11% to 15%?
Well, nothing is getting done, Brian. American people are angry. They have every right to be. And I'm saying we, each of us, have to look within ourselves to make the situation better each day, rather than simply putting fuel on the flames. And we've seen a lot of that in the last 7 months. And I don't think it's healthy for the country. And I don't think it's healthy for all of American. And there's so many people out of work. This should be our path to get jobs here into this country and then pay for it later and begin the process of balancing the budget. Don't forget, we had 3 years of balanced budget under the Clinton administration. We spent money. We raised taxes on those who are the most affluent in this country, and there were plenty. And we made more jobs. We created more jobs in those 8 years than in any other administration in the 20th century.
And the Republicans would say, balanced budget under the Clinton administration as prodded by the Gingrich Congress. But that's a debate for history. Before you go, two House Democrats have now officially embraced the Occupy Wall Street movement, which we're going to talk about, by the way, listeners, in just a minute after Congressman Pasquale answers this question. We're going to talk to two New York union leaders whose unions are now signing on, the 32BJ Building Services Union, and Michael Mulgrew will have from the teachers union, the UFT, getting involved now with the Occupy Wall Street folks coming right up. But two House Democrats have now officially embraced the Occupy Wall Street movement. Keith Ellison from Minnesota and Raul Grijalva from Arizona signed a statement saying they are inspired, I'm using their language now, inspired by the protesters, share their anger that an unchecked Wall Street has taken an enormous toll on the overwhelming majority of Americans while benefiting the super wealthy, unquote. Did they circulate that statement to you or others for more signatures?
I know that Congressman Capuano, I believe, was the first out of the chute to provide similar language. He's made that public. So there are other Democrats who are doing that.
Would you sign a statement like that?
As we don't touch anarchy in any shape or form, I think we're right on in embracing the very ideas. Look, when no one is held accountable, this is what happens. And what the Republicans are insisting upon, as we did, this is their answer to the job problem. This is their answer to unemployment. Less regulation. Do we want to go back, as Mayor Bloomberg has suggested, to the way things were? Oh, don't worry, we'll get back to that. No, we don't want to go back to where folks could do whatever they want on Wall Street. There are more scams than you could dream of. We don't want to go back to that. This is what folks are angry about. And when you make the connection between that and stagnant wages and unemployment, Brian, it is a powerful, powerful connection, and I hope folks minimize it because you're in for a big surprise.
Congressman Bill Pascrell, Democrat from the Paterson area in New Jersey, thanks so much.
Always an honor.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, those two local union presidents from the UFT and 32BJ on joining the Occupy Wall Street movement. Are they hitching their wagons to a growing grassroots disorganization, or did the Occupy Wall Street folks come courting them? Stay tuned.